Hi. How are you guys doing? That's it? I heard you guys were a lively crowd. How you doing? Woo! That's great. First thing I want to ask for is my remote to change the prompter, because if I'm going to speak to you guys, I'm kind of going to need that. So if someone could bring it out to me, that would be great. I would love to just tell you how excited I am to be here with you guys today. I've been knowing about coming to speak to you for some months now, and when I first heard, I was like, what am I going to talk to them about? Because, you know, honestly, I didn't know a whole lot about the FFA, so just the general, you know, things that most people know. But then when I started doing my research, I saw that it's so much more than just farming, as you guys know, you know, and I love the theme this year, I can and we will, because that resonates with me like no other way, I mean, like you guys can't even imagine. So for me to be a mother of two young children, I have a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old, sometimes I feel a little anxiety, you know, when I think about the future of our world, you know, when it comes to just agriculture, air quality, the quality of the food on our plates and all of those things. And when I read up on the FFA, it put a smile on my face to know that all of you, I mean thousands of you, as you know, this is a big organization, are on the right track to become leaders and are going to help change the world. So thank you. I want to thank you now for everything that you guys are doing now and in the future. Thank you so much. Did anyone hear me? They didn't put the prompter changer in my hand. Hold on, guys. I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Now we can begin. Okay, do you guys know who Muhammad Ali is? Just say yes. Thank you. I thought so. I thought you might have an idea. So just in case anyone doesn't know, Muhammad Ali is where the term GOAT came from, greatest of all times. He started calling himself the greatest of all times before he was the greatest as a fighter. So he's considered to be one of the greatest boxers ever. And he's also a global humanitarian and icon, and I'm very proud to call him my father. Now, I don't know if you guys believe in destiny. Do any of you? I don't know. I didn't necessarily believe in it either until I found this clipping of myself when my father was holding me as a baby. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my family. There's 9 of us, 9 kids. I'm the youngest girl. There's 2 boys, and I'm the only one that became a fighter, my father's youngest child. And, hold on. I don't know what's going on today, people. There we go. That's just another photo of me, my father holding me as a baby. And I know I was just thinking, yeah, you have no idea what's coming, man. Sorry, now it's moving fast. So my father has 9 children. As you can see, that's all of us. That's me with the black on there on the side. Always had a little spunky attitude, okay? Now, most people assume that I just started boxing because I simply wanted to be like my dad. Like maybe I went to the gym with him and I grew up you know, saying, hey, you know, I want to be just like my dad, and that's actually not the case at all, and I want to share the story with you of what my path has been. So I was always very ambitious growing up. I told my mom, because my parents divorced and I live with my mom, I said, I want to move out the house and I want to be living on my own. I want to, you know, do X, Y, and Z. And my mom was like, yeah, okay, Layla, whatever. So I started doing research and decided, like, look, if I'm going to live on my own and go to school, I'm going to have to pay my bills. So I decided to go to manicuring school. Did some research, found a school, took the bus after high school all the way across town into a not so good neighborhood and got a manicuring license. So by the time I was 18, I had moved out of the house, I had a clientele, and eventually got my own nail salon and was living on my own, doing all the things that I said I wanted to do. There I am in my nail salon. See that look on my face like, ha, I made it. Because I remember my mom telling me, you're not going to be able to do that. You're not going to be able to go to school full time, have a business, and live on your own. And then, of course, I had to prove her wrong. And that's where it all started. So I had this plan. I was going to City College at the time. And I was going to go transfer to the University of Southern California School of Business. And I had it all mapped out. I'm talking about long-term, short-term, wrote my goals out. You know how they tell you you should do. I did all that. I was keeping track. Then all of a sudden, I was at a friend's house one night getting ready to watch a boxing match. And I remember like it was yesterday. I was watching a Mike Tyson fight. You guys know who Mike Tyson is, right? Right. So Mike Tyson was getting ready to fight. We had our popcorn, our soda, and all of a sudden these women come into the ring. And I was like, what is this? Who are these women on the undercard, the pre-fights? They get in the ring, and I was totally zoned in because I was like, how did I not know that women box? I didn't even know that women's boxing existed up until this point. And I'm the daughter of like one of the most famous fighters ever, but a lot of the world didn't know that women's boxing existed. So these two women get in the ring and they start slugging it out. I'm talking about just brawling. It was starting to be a bloody fight. There you see. And I was like, I want to do that. As soon as I saw it, I wanted to do it. And I remember my friend saying, yeah, Layla, she's my best friend. She said, you can do it. You can do it. And her father was like, Layla, are you crazy? Those women will take your head off. So I tuned him out, of course, and I was totally zoned in because I felt like this is what I wanted to do. And then, of course, I learned later that that woman that I saw in the ring was Christy Martin, who was the most famous boxer of that time. And a lot of women were seeing boxing for the same time. So I went home and thought about it, and then that's when the doubt and the fear set in, and I was like, you know, what will everyone say? What will they think? You know, I'm on this path. You know, I have this business. I've been working so hard to grow. You know, the public, what were they going to say? Being Muhammad Ali's daughter, people didn't even really accept women's boxing at the time. What was my dad going to think? I had all these things that I had to think about. I never wanted to live my life publicly. So I had this inner conflict going on with myself. And it took me about a year to actually go for it and start training. And it's funny because I had a client that was a manicuring client. She said, well, I take these boxing classes at this gym. You know, why don't you come there? So I was like, okay. So I go down to the gym. Didn't ask my dad for help because at the time, I was training in secrecy. I said, let me go to the gym. Let me figure out if I have what it takes, if I have the talent and the desire that it takes to become a fighter, because I hadn't participated in sports. A lot of people assume that I did, but I actually didn't participate in sports in school. So I went to the gym, fell in love with the sport, and as you can see, there I was about 30 pounds overweight when I first started boxing, and boxing is all about being in a certain weight class. So for me, you have to assess early on what would be the best weight class for me, and I figured I had to lose about 30 pounds. So I started training. 6 months goes by, lost some weight, and then that's the way that I looked afterwards. So that's the first time that I really started to learn about physical fitness and, you know, the importance of eating right and my performance and all of that. So I started sparring. That's when you actually get in the ring and train for the first time with someone. And that's when I said, oh yeah, this is it. I love it. You know, and it got around quickly now. Like, okay, this girl is in here just working out. I think people started saying, this is Muhammad Ali's daughter. Maybe she's going to fight. So the news got back to my dad, and my father comes in town, because like I said, my parents were divorced, he lived in another state, he comes in town, and we had this serious conversation where he sat me down, and he says, you know, Layla, I hear that you're boxing, and I said, yeah, Dad, it's true, and I can remember this conversation like it was yesterday. I've had about three very serious conversations with my dad in life, and that one was when I moved out the house on my own, and decided to move in with a boyfriend. That was a problem. Two, when I had to talk about my dad about not wanting to be the same religion that he was, that was a serious conversation. And this is the third, where now I'm telling him that I'm gonna go into his sport. So at the time, obviously, I looked at that conversation differently than I do now, because I remember my dad saying, you say you wanna box? I said, yeah, I do. He said, well, what are you gonna do if you get knocked down? And I said, well, I'm gonna get back up just like you did, Dad. He said, well, the whole world's gonna be watching you. There's gonna be a lot of pressure on you. What are you gonna do if you get knocked out? I was like, well, I don't think that's gonna happen. But if it does, I'm gonna get back up just like you did, Dad. So he saw that he wasn't really getting to me, right? Because he knows that I'm just like him. You can't tell me what to do. You can only try to maybe talk some sense into me because I was so strong-minded. And now I just wanna stop for a moment because over the past couple years, since my father passed away, I started looking at things even more differently. And I just think about my dad's path to boxing. My dad, his whole life surrounded his career, but obviously he's so much more than boxing, as you guys know. But my dad's bike got stolen when he was about 12 years old, and he was upset, and he told one of the local policemen, you know, I want to get my bike back, and I'm going to beat up whoever took my bike. And the policeman, who happened to be a boxing trainer for amateurs, said, well, do you know how to fight? And he said, no, I don't. And he said, well, I think you need to learn how to fight if you're going to get your bike back. So that's how my dad ended up in the boxing gym, fell in love with boxing, started training, had this natural talent, obviously, that he didn't even know he had. Then he went on to have an illustrious amateur career, went to the Olympics, fought, won Olympic gold for our country, came back. And that was a time when there was segregation, and he couldn't even eat in certain restaurants. So he came back with this medal thinking, you know, things are going to change now. You know, I fought for my country, and I'm going to go, and it's going to be different. And he came back, and it wasn't. He still couldn't eat in certain restaurants. And he thought, wow, this medal doesn't mean a thing. So he threw it in the water. He threw it in the river. And that story is well documented if you want to read more about it. But that's when my dad made the decision, like, wow, you know, I'm going to become a champ. I'm going to be the best. I'm going to become a world champion so that I can help change the world. Because he knows when you have a certain platform, you have power, right? You have the power to spread a certain message. So then my dad went on, like I said, to become a heavyweight champ. A lot of you may know the story about when they wanted him to go to Vietnam War. He refused to go because of his religious beliefs. Then he got his title stripped away from him. He wasn't making any money, couldn't support his family. Everything he worked for was gone. He got sentenced to many years in jail, which he ended up fighting later. And then he went on past that to fight some really tough fights, some tough battles. And all of this was done publicly. And those battles, a lot of them contributed, they think, to his Parkinson's disease, which ultimately took away his speech and his movement and made him sick, and he ultimately died from. So when I think back now to that conversation that I had with my dad, and everything he had went through, and here comes his youngest daughter saying, Dad, I want to do this, and he's thinking, you have no idea what you're about to get into. But even though my father was trying to talk me out of it, I didn't listen. So finally he says to me at the end of that conversation what he really had on his mind, because his, you know, reverse psychology didn't work. He says, well, women have breasts, you know, you're not supposed to get hit. Like, that was like proof, like women shouldn't be getting hit. And I said, Dad, we wear protection just like you do. You know, men wear the cups and we wear cups too. It was funny, back and forth. And finally he said, you know what, it's not for women. It's not a woman's sport, it's a man's sport. It's too hard, it's too tough. And I said, well, you know, I didn't get offended. I said, Dad, I understand you feel that way and you have a right to your feeling that way, but I'm gonna do it anyway. So I went on and did it. And it wasn't long after that we made a public announcement, and then here come the floodgates are open. Everyone's like, you're too pretty to box. Why would you want to box? Women don't box. You know, I had, at the time now, I'm young, I'm like 21. And, you know, I went on Good Morning America with Diane Sawyer and, you know, announced to the world that I was going to fight. And there was nothing but negativity as far as just, you know, how well I was going to be able to do as a fighter. So I decided to fight off of TV because of the pressure, you can imagine. I didn't have an amateur career. I went straight into boxing as a professional. And I had my pro debut, and even though it wasn't on TV, there were 80 different news cameras there from around the country to cover the fight. So the pressure was definitely there. My dad was in the front row. And, you know, I went on and fought and knocked the girl out in 54 seconds of the first round. So, there it is. It's funny because after that fight, you would have thought I had a smile on my face. But see that look? That look was all that training for 54 seconds? Are you kidding me? But it's funny because I just remember people thinking that I was going to use boxing as a platform to go act or to go do modeling, which I thought was crazy. I'm like, why would I get in a ring if I'm concerned about my looks and things to, you know, to jeopardize that to become a model? So then I ended up writing my first book called Reach, Finding Strength, Spirit, and Personal Power, which is a memoir, and it talks about just a lot of the things that I went through behind the scenes, a lot of the adversity that I faced that allowed me to become a fighter in the first place. I encourage you guys definitely to read that book because I wrote it for young kids, because a lot of people think that things are a certain way and they don't know what's going on behind the scenes, you know, of my life. And that has a lot of information in it, so definitely check that out if you get a chance. And my next fights that I kind of just want to go through quickly are some of my most memorable fights. So my father fought someone named Joe Frazier. He had three battles with him. Do any of you know that history? So Joe Frazier was a fighter who became the champ when my father's titles got stripped from him. And my father used to always call him out and say, "You're not the real champ. You know, I didn't lose my titles to you." So he had to come. He talked a lot of trash to Joe Frazier. They ended up fighting, and Joe Frazier won. So then they had two rematches, and my father won. But there's a lot of history there with that fight. So when I decided to box professionally, so did Joe Frazier's daughter decide to come after me and box. So we ended up fighting. It was Ali Frazier IV. And there was a lot of animosity there. Those are just some photos from behind the scenes of the fight we can go through. And that's me and Jackie. And she turned out to be a lot tougher than I thought she was going to be. But of course, I won. I was victorious. I mean, not to say, I mean, you know I'm undefeated, so I'm like, you know, it's no surprise. But she was tough, because trust me, I didn't take her seriously at the time. And then my next memorable match was against a girl named Susie Taylor, who was considered to be a hard puncher, strong. I remember being in the gym when I was training, and I remember them saying, "Oh, you don't want to fight her yet, you know, she's tough, she's strong." And of course, then came time for me. She had a title that I wanted, so I fought her, and then I stopped her in the second round, and that was my first world title fight, and I have a picture of that. I'm having a little trouble with this changer. It's not. And then, ironically, Christy Martin, the woman I showed you the picture of that I saw fighting for the first time, I ended up fighting her, which was crazy because she was the person that I saw that inspired me to fight. And you know, I went on and fought her and was victorious in that fight as well. So that was amazing. Now, as you can see, that's a photo of my father and I in the ring, because a lot of people thought that my father didn't support me. No, he wasn't happy that I chose to box, but he always supported me, always came to my fights whenever he could, you know, because he did have Parkinson's disease and it was hard for him to get around sometimes. And I remember whenever I would come into the ring, people would chant, "Ali, Ali, Ali," and you could just see his eyes brighten up. Because when he came out to sit in the audience, they would do that. And I could just see, you know, even with his Parkinson's disease and he couldn't get around the same, he couldn't really talk like he used to, that just kind of brightened him up. So he loved coming to the fights. And that was a connection that him and I had that we share that I can't say the same for any of my other siblings. Now, one thing that I always loved after a fight was to have a cake waiting for me in the dressing room. And people always ask me, "What's your motivation? You know, you train hard for a fight. You know, I give up the sweets, which I love, and I would look at that cake, and that'd be the last thing I would look at. So I'm coming back for you. Like, I'm gonna knock this girl out so I can come back and have a piece of cake." So now I'm serious about my cake. There's another photo. And my father would always come to my dressing room after the fight, have a piece of cake with me. But this one particular time, he came and he said, "You know, I want to talk to you." And he had a very serious look on his face. And he said, "You know, I was wrong. Women can fight. You can fight." And it just brought tears to my eyes because I didn't think that I wanted to know that, you know, I didn't think that I cared how he felt about my career. But then at that time, I knew that I actually did. And then he starts, you know, telling me that I have a jab. "You know, you got a jab like me. You move around like me." And next thing I know, he's trying to show me moves in the ring. I'm like, "Dad, now that I've won titles, now you want to show me how to jab? Now you want to show me how to move around the ring?" I was like, "You're a little late, Dad." But I thought that was cute, you know, that my father was doing that. So once I decided I've done everything I need to do in boxing, then I got to the point where I said, "You know what, there's so many other things that I want to do in life, that I want to do with my career." So I knew that my time in boxing, you know, was coming to an end. So I had my last fight in 2007 in South Africa, and I had the honor of having Nelson Mandela come to one of my fights. Nelson Mandela was actually a boxer too. He fought in the he had an amateur boxing career, so he was a big fight fan. And I remember when he came to the fight, they brought him this big chair. It was like a throne. It was hand carved. You know, it had, you know, cushions on it, and it was like sitting right in the front row. And I was like, "Wow, you know, Nelson Mandela's here." And I get out there, I want to put on a good show for him. I get out there and knock the girl out in the first round. And I remember looking at on this, you know, saying, "I'm so sorry. You know, I'm so sorry I didn't give you a better match." And he was like, "That's okay, Layla." So that's a picture of me in my last fight in South Africa. And again, you see that same look that first round knockout look where you want a little bit more competition. So now that I was done with boxing, I've spent many years trying to get people to take me seriously as a boxer because it was always, you're too pretty to box, you know, women shouldn't box, all these things, and I was always serious and focused, and I thought it'd be great to show another side of myself to, as I go into this next phase in my life. And I remember Dancing with the Stars called. You guys familiar with the show Dancing with the Stars? Okay, I thought so. So Dancing with the Stars called. At the time, they were like in season 4. I wasn't really sure about it, but at first I said no. I was like, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to dance on a ballroom floor and all that. And I said, you know what? This might be good. This may be a good way for me to kind of cross over and show people a different side of myself. So I said yes, and I ended up going the full distance into the finals, the final 3, the final show. And even though I didn't win, I came in 3rd. I felt like I won because, like I said, I was able to show a different side of myself. I gained a larger audience. There was 20 million viewers a week. That's a lot of viewers on that show. So from there, I went on to do hosting on television, and that's where the kind of changeover came. But before that, I got married, and I wanted to start a family. And that's my husband, Curtis. He played in the NFL for like 12 years, and he retired around the same time we met. And then we started, you know, having children, of course. But this is another photo from the wedding with my father and my mother. And then it wasn't long after that that I had my first son, that's Curtis Jr. And then Sydney, who's my little feisty girl, who I have a feeling that one day I might have to talk out of boxing because she definitely is a little fighter. And then I have a current picture of us. This is us now. Aren't they cute? My babies. So it took me about 5 years after I retired from boxing. You guys may have heard athletes go through something where when we're done doing what we loved, we have to figure out what is our next thing going to be. What am I going to be passionate about? What am I going to do that's not only going to sustain me and my family, but I can love, you know, and not feel like it's work. Because with boxing, it was so hard. You know, I'm telling you, as you know, any athletes in the room know, you push yourself, your body, your mind, your spirit to the limits, but you love it, so you don't feel like it's work. So what was that gonna be for me? So for me, I started doing some hosting. That's, there I am with Hulk Hogan. I did American Gladiators, and I had all these different opportunities that I was doing, but at the time, I was still trying to figure out, you know, what's my thing gonna be? Then once I did, you know, I started, you know, trying to go in the direction of kind of food and health and wellness, and I hosted a show called Late Night Chef Fight, which was a cooking competition. I also went on Chopped on the Food Network. I don't know if you guys watch the Food Network at all, but Chopped is like a super challenging show. I went on there, won a couple times, and I really wanted to show the world that I had a passion for cooking, but not only cooking, cooking healthy, and putting that message out there. And my goal was to encourage people to live their lives with health and vitality. The same way I learned through boxing, because I wasn't into health, fitness, wellness, any of that until I became an athlete. And I understood that in order to get a good performance, I had to put in quality food into my diet. So that's what I started focusing on. Went on Steve Harvey's show, a bunch of other different shows. I'm not too many to show you here. And then I started the Layla Ali lifestyle brand, which is what my focus has been for the past few years, where I have a podcast where I talk about health, fitness, and wellness, and encourage people, like I said, to take control of their health. My latest thing that's coming out is my second book, Food for Life, which is, as you can see, it says delicious, healthy, comfort food from my table to yours. And in the book, this is something you guys would appreciate. I'm trying to encourage people to start eating whole foods from the earth, the quality of food that they put on their plate, because obviously, you know, we have problems with the diabetes and heart disease and obesity and all these things from people just eating fast food and not really appreciating good whole food from the earth. So I'm trying to bring it back to that. That's my passion, and that's what I do through my lifestyle brand. And then my latest show is Homemade Simple on OWN, which will be starting actually next month. And on that show, it's on Oprah's network, I get with a designer and we not only make over people's home, but I get in the kitchen with people and we cook healthy foods that they can share with their family. So I'm really trying to drive that message home. So that's why I said, when you talk about I can, it really resonated with me because I believe that first you have to set your own goals in life, and that's what I did at a very young age. I had to think about what would make me happy, because that's the time to be selfish. When I say selfish, not in a negative way, but to think about yourself. Because I believe that if you don't fulfill your own goals and your own passions, you can't begin to help others. First, you have to be happy and figure out what your path in life is going to be, what your purpose is going to be. Not that you have to have it all figured out, but you want to start thinking about those things and having positive intentions. And then, you know, as you go along the way, you know, you think about how you can contribute to the world. And I think that that's where a lot of times people go wrong, when they don't figure that out first. What makes you happy and how you're going to put a positive impact on everybody else. And then when I think about "we will," you talk of, this is one of my father's quotes. He had so many, but I love this one. "Service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on earth." And I think it really comes down to that. And that's what I love about the FFA, is when it comes, you know, the backdrop to everything is service to others, doing something to make a change in the world. And my father used boxing as a platform to ultimately do his humanitarian work. He said that from the very beginning. You know, and I told you that story of when I think he first realized how he can have an impact on the world. He used to sit us down when we were younger, and he used to say, "I can go anywhere in the world, and people know who I am. I can go to countries where they don't know anything about America, and you say America, and they say Muhammad Ali." That's all they knew, because of the impact that he had, because of the stands that he took for everything that he put on the line. But it all started with boxing. But he didn't know when he went into the boxing gym as a young kid that that's where he was going to end up. You know, but he just had great intentions from the beginning and followed his heart, and that's where it kind of led him. So I want to say to you all that I commend you for recognizing at an early age that you have the power within to make a change in this world. That's so important. Because a lot of people go through life not knowing that. As an individual, to say, you know, I can make a difference, is powerful. And when you recognize that, you're gonna change, you're gonna, you know, learn new things. You're gonna, you may not decide to do anything in agriculture when you grow up, but you're gonna take the same qualities that you learned here through the FFA with leadership and citizenship and caring about people and realizing that we all are connected whether we like it or not. The sooner people realize that, the better. And so you guys are so ahead of the game, and I just want to commend you for that. I want to commend the FFA, and that's why I was so excited to come here and talk to you guys today. So pretty much, you guys, as far as I'm concerned, are on the right track. I wish that I would have learned about the FFA growing up, because if you read my book, Reach, you'll find out I got myself into a lot of trouble when I was your age. I was fighting before I became a professional fighter. That's what drew me to it when I saw it. I was like, I can do it professionally and not get in trouble, not go to jail. That's great. So you guys are definitely on the right track. Now all you have to do is you have to decide what it is you want to do in life and go for it. And that's pretty much it. So thank you so much for listening to me. Sorry we got off to a little bit of a rocky start today. Thank you so much. Rocky start today. Thank you so much.